Life, Death, and Fire. Secret Kingdom. Man's Folly. Chapter 3.
Another drink.
The black-haired man had loosened his ponytail so that his hair flowed over his ears and down to his shoulders. He leaned back to get the last of the liquor out of his wooden cup. Sighing heavily at the dryness of the cup, he turned toward the younger man beside him.
What are you doing? You're supposed to drink it.
He pointed with the hand holding the cup. A young man with short blonde hair, only on the top of his head, swirled the cup in front of him. Neither of them acknowledged the Guildhall's bartender as he poured. The younger man just pushed a few coins forward to pay for the next round. Without taking the coins, the bartender smiled and turned back to the others on the far end of the counter. These two men were sitting nearest the edge of a lengthy, sturdy wooden bar. Sitting in the corner beside a window of stained glass that depicted some high-ranking warrior claiming victory over a pile of nightmarish creatures. Such depictions continued down the wall with tall figures of victorious individuals from the guild's past. Sitting at the bar sulked two adventurers that hailed from this guild's area. Their alma mater was known as the Snarling Worm. They'd begun their journey as a team at this very spot. The now inebriated man was boasting of his skills with his bow. They were all pretty young back then, the blonde lad a youth barely into his teens. Years had gone by, and they'd gotten stronger. None in their group was of national worth, even regional, but they were far stronger than the average citizen. They'd taken up a number of tasks protecting merchants on the road, specializing in open combat where there was a lot of room around them. Recently, these two had joined their leader on a contracted job with an acquaintance of the team. They'd assisted a merchant and his son in coming to the capital. They'd gotten them to Desrana safely, only a few goblins and one ogre along the way. Simple enough. The rest of the trip was safe and quick. That was until they'd returned the merchant to his home of Karmos. One Mr. Darnson was the paying customer for the contract. He'd often requested the group known as Gilded Wolves. They were relatively cheap, being that they were still copper rank. They hadn't made an exceptional name for themselves, but they got the job done. There were only a few times they were put into a bad position in combat, but even the most recent ogre was no problem. They'd become pretty confident in those skills. Monster ears had been taken, the employing party was safe, and the team had gotten better every time. They still had new heights of potential to reach, and charisma to carry their name into many ears. Surely, they'd make silver ranked in no time. That was their thought, at least. Until that day, just a week and a half ago, when they'd returned the paying Mr. Darnson and his son home. A walled town stood in the middle of a large field, yet it was quiet as a graveyard blocked off by wooden walls, keeping rotten flesh contained. They found this comparison to be all too correct. Death was all that existed there, save the few predators of such carrion. Running as wolves with their tails stuck firmly between their legs, they deserted the town to deliver the client and his young son back to Desrana with the report of what they'd found. These individuals hadn't left the cart. They hadn't seen the carnage. Yet the look on Mr. Darnson's face had crippled their spirits. The wails of his son broke their hearts. Now, the two had to assist with rebuilding a town after the Emperor's men were sent to remove the corpses and rot.
You gotta drink. It'll make you feel better.
The black-haired man's fake smile turned real once he'd realized the cup was filled again.
I love magic.
The younger man beside him would have laughed at that, but his mind was ensnared by the look on the young Darnson's face after hearing the full report.
Your mother and sister are gone. Barbarian savages took the town.
This man knew what that meant. Not many people die quickly, especially when the powerful face the weak. Considering the darkest scenario, he stopped himself and threw back the wooden cup. The liquid rushed down his throat. Coughing at the sudden burn, the youngest gilded wolf leaned forward and tapped on the bar. He waved two fingers in the air.
There. There you go.
The ranger leaned over and patted his coughing friend on the back.
Little Morrow got his big boy pants on.
Cut it out. The younger man brushed off the comment and watched as the bartender came back with that same pained grin. Well, there you are. He nodded as he poured both another round. Again, he walked away without taking the payment.
At least they'll let us drown ourselves for free.
Looking around them, most within the hall were smiling or discussing tactics. Some eyes darted away from the two, rumors clearly sparking curiosity. They were the only ones with despair hanging over them.
Where did Edmund go?
You know our fearless leader.
A shrug followed his answer.
I don't know. He could be off doing a number of things. I guess he's asking around.
Makes sense.
Morrow Crotius took another gulp and swallowed the entirety of his cup. Exhaling harshly made the pain a little easier to manage.
We haven't heard anything more on it.
Not since they told us to shut our mouths.
Paul, the ranger of the group, glanced over the room to ensure they were not being listened to.
You know those orders come from higher up than those street guards. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if the Protherian gave the order.
You think so?
Morrow's eyebrows pinched together in doubt.
That sounds like a little bit much.
We get a gag order put on us while they try to figure it out, and then won't even let the guy go home? They sent out all those investigators and soldiers to survey the area, as they called it.
The ranger seemed to sober up with the topic.
Ask your goddess for answers. I hear she's big on secrets. Conspiracies or just secrets on a larger scale.
Paul finished his drink and spread out his arms across the counter. His head bounced as his bottom jaw moved against the counter.
It was nice that the guards at least paid for the man's troubles. No way it covers what he lost, though.
He took one coin from the table and spun it.
Lady Taunton is not that sort of goddess. I am not a cleric. You know that.
The young man's mind fills with the statues and paintings depicting such a fine goddess. Draped in blues and blacks of the twilight hours, the secrets of the arcane come as a torch in the night. Her simple features confirming she comes not for your hearts, but for the minds of those that would dare wander into her domain. The thought warmed his chest. The two continued to drink together at the expense of the guild's funds. They spoke quietly together about different subjects. People came and went. Some took jobs from the posting on the guild's board, and others entered for food or to meet with their teams. Still, the two of gilded wolves remained, and drank. Bronze tags dangled from both of their necks as they both hunched over the edge of the bar. They'd gone through a bottle between the two of them in the last hour. It wasn't weak liquor, either. Still, the guild's current leader had heard of what had happened. Though the others didn't know how she'd heard of it, it would seem a few government agents had come in with requests and coin. For silence, she was rewarded as well. So, the coin was shared, and the team was watched. "Have you done nothing but drink today?" The two at the bar turned slowly toward that voice. Both had a smile spread over their face and rosy cheeks. "Ah, Morrow," the voice sounded pained. "I expected out of Paul, but not you." Wearing simple chainmail over a common man's shirt, the leader of the Gilded Wolves reached forward and plucked the drink from Morrow's hands. Morrow wasn't too upset, as this was just the excuse he'd been looking for to take a step back before he'd lost his lunch over the bar. Edmund Quill, the leader of the team, puffed out his chest as he downed the drink with a single gulp. His chest rose with the copper plate around his neck. His two iron gauntlets were hung from his hips along with his swords. His attire didn't change much between relaxation and work. "While I'm out working, you both sit here. I hope you were at least productive in your discussion." He was smiling, but there was a shadow of disappointment.
"We're just bonding."
"Jeez."
Paul slapped his chest in response to his difficulty speaking and breathing.
"That's good, I guess."
The leader moved to the left of Paul and took a seat at the bar.
"I'll take one too."
The bartender nodded and returned to pour another round. Morrow waited until the bartender got to him and gave a small shake of his head so the others wouldn't notice.
"Well, they haven't been charging us either."
Paul, at least, had the sense to wait for the bartender to return to the other patrons a distance away. No one had come to sit by them throughout their hours on those stools.
"Not once, huh? Makes sense."
Edmund swirled his cup a bit and brushed some of his blonde hair back into the fluffed mass at the front. He took this chance to glance up at the second level of the guild, where those that ran the establishment held important meetings or worked from their offices. Pretending to look at his hair, the adventurer found no one to be watching.
"We're not going to be able to get any work like this. They'll deny us taking any jobs until they resolve the issue. So, drowning us in free booze in the safety of the guild hall is their best bet. Even if we started an uproar, we'd be set right real quick."
"All the while, the other whisper of what failures we are, they don't even know why. Shit."
The group all stared forward in silence as they contemplated what decrees had been set into motion. Demanded silence, paying off those involved, and sending troops out under questionable circumstances. Edmund pulled the cup up to his lips and mimicked taking a gulp. He wiped some off his lips and exhaled in an exaggerated fashion. In a quiet voice, he spoke to his team. "Something big is happening, and I think it's just what we need to get out of copper.